Beller Fundraising Auctions presents Black Tie and Tails, brought to you by our partner Sojourn Ventures, featuring your co-hosts Greg Kuroga and Devon Bell. Welcome to Black Tie and Tails, where we share tales of triumph and tragedy from behind the scenes of the wonderful world of fundraising auctions. I'm half of your co-hosting team, Greg Kuroga, here with my co-host Devon Bell.
Hello, all.
And Devo, it's been a minute, right? I feel like we haven't sat down to do this in a little while.
No, it's been thousands of minutes. And we're busy.
And what, have you been like doing auctions or something? Like, is this the busy season? Like, is this when all the events are taking place? Like, where have we been?
Yeah, we've been all about, actually, all over the place. I believe you've been on a flight in service of getting on another flight.
Yes. Yeah. It's been bouncing around and working with organizations all over the country and in all over the Bay Area, staying busy. And at the end of the busy season, it always feels a bit like coming to the end of finals for me. Like, okay, whew, here we are, we're done. I used to get sick at the end of the busy season.
Oh yeah.
I used to and now I've gotten better about that not happening, but I still get to the end of the busy season and feel like, okay, that was a lot.
Cue School's Out for Summer by Alice Cooper.
Right, yeah. Totally. And in that vein, we thought it would be a good theme today, this episode, to get back to like leaving it all on the table. Because when we get to the end of the busy season, I really feel like I could do more events, but I'm glad I don't need to.
By the end of, I have a couple, you probably have a couple more. I have two in June.
Sure.
But we just got through the crazy part and maybe this year even more so.
Yeah.
And like you had said to me earlier, maybe it's because of our age.
Right.
I don't know why, but I felt like I had all the auctioneer wrung out of me this year.
Left it all on the table.
Indeedy.
In that vein, that's the theme, leaving it all on the table. I think I already said that, but I'm an auctioneer and I love repeating myself, including that joke, right? I get a lot of mileage out of that joke every consulting meeting. Shout out to 12 people who are watching this podcast. But in terms of leaving it all on the table, when we were getting prepped for this, you told a great story that I think maps right into that theme.
Yeah, we were sharing stories back and forth as we were setting up for the podcast, and we've got lots of stories to tell because, like we said, we just came out of our busy season. So, you know, I know you did a lot. We both did double digit auctions in the last couple months.
So. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this was actually the last auction I just did. And
Like recency bias.
Yeah, there you go. And it is challenging. There, it's very enophilic. It's very wine centric, and so that is both wonderful and can be challenging. And I use this in consulting sometimes. You don't want to change too many things.
Sure.
Right. And you use the great metaphor of the big, huge ship, and way before they get to port, they turn just a tiny bit,
right?
Because it's a big thing. And like a little turn means a lot.
Sure.
And so, event, they changed venues,
which is the first big thing.
Yeah. That's a big deal. And, Then day of, I found out that not only did they change venues, but they're going to put me in the round in the middle of the room with no riser.
Okay.
So I'm going to, that means a third of the crowd is looking at my back no matter which way I face.
And being in the round can be fun. Right.
Yeah.
It does bring the back of the room closer.
The hinterlands aren't as far.
Aren't as hintered.
Twice as much,
right?
Like front row.
Sure.
That's
sure.
Exactly right.
And it feels nice. But on the flip side, it's hard to like. I don't like being in the round for more than like 12 lots because I start to feel like a whirling dervish.
Right.
It's a lot to keep. I mean, our job is our job. We've done it plenty of times and it's hard to keep track of, not hard, but I mean, the challenge of our job is keeping track of bidders, right? And so you start like using techniques and tools to be like, okay, it's that guy at that. But when you have to spin around, like suddenly the orientation is tough. And so like anything above 12 lots is a lot to be in the round for.
That's right. Our head is on a swivel anyway.
Right.
When you're on the round, it's straight up exorcist.
Yeah.
You are constantly turning in circles.
Minus the green prop pew.
So what did you say? No more than 12?
Yeah, 12 lots is a good max number in the round.
Well, this was 30. This was 30 lots of wine craziness. Wow. So they said, do you need anything? You know, and I said, something. Give me a lectern, a high boy, something to be a focal point besides
an
just
espresso
me,
IV drip.
Right, me running around with a mic like Donahue. Ooh, that's an old reference. Anyway, so they gave me a music stand. And what I did was when I would be describing the lots,
sure.
I would just pick up the stand and turn 90 degrees. Turn
that's
180
great.
Degrees.
Yeah. So every right. time you're describing slightly different to every time you're describing to a slightly different segment of the crowd.
Yeah. As you know, keeping engagement a lot of times is you pick people who are talking and you look right at them and talk to them. And they want, you know, they're not trying to be rude. So it's a way to pull people back in. Sure. So it was totally crazy.
30 lots is a lot. I mean, 30 lots is a big auction by any standards today.
That's right.
Everybody's doing smaller auctions.
Yep, that's right.
30 lots in the round, that's demanding of you and the crowd.
Yeah, and I had told them after last year, so this all also happens in the against the backdrop of fancy dinner that is paired with wines by our vintner chair, you know, our honorary chair, which is a vintner.
Great. So love the connection.
Yeah. So they're drinking wines with every course. There are wine glasses all over every table. So as you can imagine, I follow the crowd from the dinners first starting. Now inhibitions are low because we are drinking to the end where it is falling apart and people are frankly effed up.
Getting a little sloppy.
Yeah, yeah. People are getting good. People are drunk and crazy. And you know, a certain amount of that we like. It's fun.
We want a rational philanthropy, not unconscious philanthropy.
Let's go. Have your table mate lift your paddle for you.
On the string.
So it was crazy. It also was one of those venues where they had inside and then big, huge doors, rolling doors you could lift up.
Sure.
And then an outside patio. And I was right on the line. So half the crowd was inside and half the crowd was outside.
Oh.
And then it turned out that just outside of this venue, which was like a kind of restaurant brewing company thing.
Okay.
They were in the city. They were having a street festival and they were closing down the city and here comes the food trucks and all kinds of craziness like that.
Fun backdrop.
Yeah. 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 So, it was chaotic in every way, but, you know, I say this all the time, Greg, what we're trading on a lot of the times, one of the resources that we have is a room full of people that have an expectation of giving.
Yeah.
You know, they know that they know they're going to give. Guess what? It was 250 ahead. So it's 500 for a couple just to be there in the room.
Right.
And they love the organization. They want it to succeed. They want us to succeed. They want the event to succeed. And so I always try to play up on that, you know, is that we're all pushing in the same direction. There is no adversary here. You know?
Yes.
So we went along and it was crazy and continued to get more and more crazy. And I'm sure you've experienced this. The last half dozen lots, now I'm where they are just by osmosis.
Mm.
And I just, you crazy enophilic freaks and, you know, just no longer. Every time I make eye contact, I do like a, isn't this crazy? Or a eye roll or a, yeah, you know, because we're all feeling it. And, it was very much like that. And the street festival, about 10 seconds, not more than 30 seconds after he said his final, here's
so
how
you,
much we
you
rate.
Close the auction and then the event chair comes up and says, yes. Thank you all. We love you.
Right. Good night. Thank
right,
you, everyone.
Right.
And not 10 seconds later, a band fires up right outside across the street, like a rock band amplified, playing loud classic rock. Like, we made it by this much.
You ain't seen nothing yet.
Right?
Bam, bam, baby.
But there's something to that vibe that lends itself to how festive it was and how chaotic and fun it was. And
the vibe of having the street fair being like, or the street festival being sort of the backdrop for it.
The speakers on the inside didn't work and we had dead air as the sound company ran and put up fresh towers from scratch while the crowd was sitting there.
Oh.
Like there was chaos throughout.
Sure.
And
But so even the sound company had to leave it all on the table because they were like everybody yes. did like was the taxed to their max.
Yes. And I very much love the fact that we're having a fundraiser and a benefit and raising money and it's
sure.
for a good cause.
Right.
I also always appreciate the fact that it's a party and we're partying down
right.
and people are like, wow, that was crazy. Right. Mm. And I want them to say, wow, that was crazy. Hopefully in a good way.
Yeah.
And that all the stressing and overthinking and freaking out about stuff is on our part and
right.
that the crowd didn't notice most of it, you know? So, yeah, it went wild and they actually made more money with fewer lots. They had more than 30 last year. And so they made more money with fewer lots.
30 was less, you say.
30 is our pared down
We're
auction.
Only doing 2 hours of auction, you say.
30 lots, or as we call it, bare bones. And so, and I know you can appreciate this. After we got done, you know, and I packed myself up and got out. The hotel was right nearby, and I went back. It took me a half an hour to get undressed because I would take off one shoe and then I'd lay on the bed and moan, you know?
Like, yeah.
Oh, God. Oh, God. And then I went and got in the shower where there's unlimited hot water and sat down in the shower and just
nice.
Tried to compose myself for a half an hour in the shower as I got it back. But it is, I felt like me giving it all in that way, you know, and, you know, so hoarse. So sweaty, so done. Just my brain is done. It's all done. But I hope that that is reflecting the journey that the crowd took as well.
Yeah. But I thought that was really like an astute, like I don't think I'd heard it expressed so clearly before, is by the end of the auction, we're kind of like, you're kind of how you're like emotionally co-aligning with the crowd,
yes.
you know, like how a couple that lives together for a long time, eventually like they start to like form shared memory systems. And in that respect, like, yeah, as when I'm doing multiple events in a week,
right.
I've found that being like not exhausted, but just kind of tired, like always like, and it's not like, don't get me wrong, like for any of the organizations with which we work, it isn't like this is a bad thing, but like it kind of wears down the filter in a good way. And I find myself coming up with lines and saying things in those moments that are, while appropriate, are like, oh, that, like, that's coming from a place of like that little part of my brain that's like, don't think crazy thoughts, is kind of turned off because I'm tired. And it sounds like you guys got there over the course of one auction.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's well said, is that we're going and crazy and now everyone's buzzed and right. And the party has been going for hours. Instead of I'm up here imparting auction to you.
Right.
It gets more like we're all in this together,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
And right. We're all right. And like the same way they look at each other and go, isn't that crazy? I look at them and go, isn't this crazy? Right.
I've got a story that maps directly to that. Let's touch on our sponsor, because Black Tie and Tails is brought to you by our partners, Sojourn Ventures. When your auction is in need of international travel, please check out Sojourn Ventures. They curate trips to Bali, Spain. Now they have three options in Italy: Cortona, Venice, and
Puglia,
which is in Salento. And that's where your bidders could basically go spend a week on the coast of the heel of Italy's boot in warm Mediterranean waters. And that, yes, that sounds great.
And just to note, at that auction I just did,
yes,
we sold Spain and we sold Venice and doubled it, and everyone was thrilled.
Yay! Sojourn offers over a dozen curated packages that include round-trip airport transfers, full-body massages,
yes.
daily breakfast, in-home chef's dinners, and more. You can custom configure however you want the package to be. So if you just want people to go on the trip, fine. If you want to add in, say, a chef to come to the house and do a cooking demonstration, yay, you can make all of those things happen. Your buyers will enjoy top-level concierge service. One of the reasons we love Sojourn is they take care of their people. And 2 full years to redeem the trip, all at reasonable consignment prices. So speaking of, we're all in this together at the very bitter end. One of the first, I think it was the first time I auctioneered the Sun Valley Center for the Arts. It's now the Sun Valley Museum, but the Sun Valley Center for the Arts, Sun Valley Wine Auction. And this would have been, 07, right? So 18 years ago. And at that point in time, they're like one of the grand dame wine auctions in the country. They're in the top 10 wine auctions at that point. They've been going on for a long time. They've been raising a lot of money. They're well established. And the reason that they brought me in was it was a super long auction, and they wanted fresh blood without replacing their existing auctioneer. So me and Dave Reynolds co-auctioneer that event, and we each take, he's like, we just divvied it up. We took 3 to 5 lots each. You know, here's, you do these three, and I'll do these three, and all these three. The length of the auction was 75 lots.
No, that's three auctions, right?
Right. 75 lots.
Oh, my God.
And at the and we're in a tent. I mean, and it's a lovely setting. I mean, I'd never been to Sun Valley before. You know, we roll in. We're in a big tent right
at,
by the...
At 3 minutes a lot, that's 5 hours.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
5 hours.
Yeah. And this was pre-08-09 economic crash. And so for some reason... 08-09 is when it went from 2 minutes per lot to 3 minutes per lot.
Okay.
We used to be able to people just used to be freer with it. Maybe I used to say less about each auction lot, but it used to be like 2 minutes per lot was clockwork. Okay. And then after the economic crash, it seemed like people just started taking more time. Maybe people became more fluent in bidding and realized that waiting longer was somehow gaming the system. I mean, not realized, but came to the expectation, because it very seldom, like if you, as a bidder, if you wait until I'm just about to say sold and then raise your paddle, it doesn't make the other person incapable of bidding against you again.
No,
right?
It's a very eBay move, and it doesn't usually work.
It doesn't work. But anyway, so, you know, maybe two and a half minutes per lot, but that's still...
3 hours plus.
Yes, absolutely. Beautiful setting in a big tent at the base of the mountain at Sun Valley Resort. Right by a river, right? Right by the Wood River. It's a lovely setting. There are 55 tent tops, so big tent.
Yeah.
Full to the gills. Lots of big bidding. I mean, things going for $40,000-$50,000. You know, just like fun auction. All the vintners have donated, like, for the most part, like, really interesting lots. But after the fund to need, and you put the fund to need like on a 75 lot auction, you don't put the fund to need halfway through. You don't put the fund to need a third of the way through.
Oh, no.
You
no.
put the fund to need like 20% of the way into this thing. You're like stopping the show and like, we've got enough momentum. Let's catch people before they start to leave, because they started to leave.
Oh, well, and how can you blame them? It's right, hours and right. hours.
I mean, You try to stagger it so that you're doing as many courses as possible and you're keeping people in their seats.
Sure.
But you get to a certain point and dessert has been cleared.
The old people are going home to go to bed.
And you're on lot 60.
Oh,
you still got 45 minutes to go. And at a certain point, we're down to the last 7 lots. And there are 5 tables left.
Oh, dear.
And 2 of them are in the back of the room.
Oh, no.
2 of them are in the hinterlands, as you say. And so we're like, hey, so you come on, everybody come on down. And we got everybody to get up and move to the front and take over the 5 front tables in the front, you know, and because we had this like shared experience of, we've been through this thing together.
Right.
Right. We've been like, we appreciate all of you sticking with us. I like to say till the bitter end, but
till the sweet end.
Mm. And, bitter, B-I-D-D-E-R.
I see what you did. I see what you did.
Nobody ever hears it though. I mean, we're sitting in the same room and you didn't hear it. So I guess that joke just doesn't play, but, we, you know, thank them for being in there and hanging out with us until the very, very end of this really long thing. And you know, one of our metrics for if an auction is still successful is like how the last 2 lots do compared to that. Like the metric with this time was like, well, how did the last 15 lots perform comparatively?
I love your in the moment plan for hinterland reduction.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, just say like, get, I mean, because at this point, there was no more food coming out.
No.
There was no more. And there was still, we're still like, make sure they're getting wine, right?
Yeah.
If they want it.
And it's not
wine.
Like everyone didn't know that most of the people left. They can all see.
Right, right. I mean,
right. <They know. laughs>
I wanted a megaphone for my megaphone at that point, you know? Just me thinking, hello, hello, hello. I felt like the opening scenes of 28 Days Later.
There you
just walking through the gala. Hello. No. Spoiler alert. The last time I did the Sun Valley Museum's auction, we were down to 22 lots.
Less can be more, just a little less can be more. So this might not have been the same auction, but is this the auction? Because I saw a video once of you doing an auction, and it was when Dave Reynolds was there, and you sold like a concert or something. It was for $300K.
That was the same organization and the same wine auction, but that was fast forward.
Okay.
That would have been like, or not a decade, but that would have been, I think, 2012 or 2013. That's a fun, and in terms of fun lots, like people always say, what's the most expensive thing you've ever sold? And I'm like, well, relative to value or just in sheer cash value, right? Because I sold Cuts in Line at the buffet for $2,800, and relative to value, like that's preposterous in a lovely and supportive way. But this is a fun story about, I'm going to take the tangent and run with it. A fun story about, expectation management and making sure that you have the bidders in the room, because the auction chair for Sun Valley that year comes to us in the planning process and says, I've got this incredible lot. I've got five vintners who are going to donate the wines. And we're talking like Kosta Browne, Stag's Leap, high level vintners donating the wines. I've got a chef who's going to fly in and cook a meal for 40 people to pair with those vintner wines. And at the end, we can do it anywhere in the United States. And at the end of the dinner, Lady Antebellum is going to perform a private concert. And we say, wow, that's really amazing. The big question, what do you think this is worth?
And you know how worth is like this.
Yeah. And anytime somebody says, oh, this is worth X, my response is, well, okay, who's going to bid on that? Right.
It's worth what someone will pay.
And he says it's worth $300,000. And we all kind of choke a little bit and go, that's great. Who's going to pay that? And he's like, oh, you know, Mike Smith is going to do $300,000. I say, okay, fine.
Who's going to bid against Mike?
Yeah. Dave Jones.
Oh, okay.
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 Great. So we've got a plan in place. And so we do all these machinations, right? Here's where Mike is sitting. Here's where Dave is sitting. Make sure, you know, when you get to it, that Dave isn't the one who bids 300 because Mike wants to be the one who bids 300. And I'm like thinking, I'm like, you know, like you guys are overcomplicating it, but sure, fine. I'll make sure Mike is the one who bids 300.
What was your increment going? Was it like 25K, 10K, 50K?
I kept it at tens. Kept it at tens.
Wow.
Because I wanted to see if I could pull someone else in, and you know, and maybe I'd go for 25s now just to really speed that process up. But
someone's gonna do that split thing where it's like 250, who's in for three, and they'll go, I'll do 270.
Right.
Like, okay.
Yeah. Right.
See how you do.
You know.
Me.
Yeah. And so and you know, the bidding on that. I mean, we started at like, I want to say like 50,000 or something. You know, reasonable. And it gets going, and I never even had to look at Dave.
Because somebody else was interested.
There were two other parties bidding against Mike, and Mike wound up paying 320. Because these other guys had heard he was going to go to three, and they're like, well, we'll do 310.
Nice.
And he was like, nah, screw you, I want it at 320. And they're like, okay, we're out. But it was interesting because well, I'll hold the lesson on that because we can come back and actually, well, no, we're in it right now. Might as well talk about it. self-editing on the fly.
We're leaving it all on the table, people.
Nice. Good callback. Nothing at Sun Valley had ever sold for over $300,000 before that. The people who were bidding on it were people who had been bidding on things at that auction in the past. So they weren't new bidders. I mean, Mike was new, but whatever. But the other bidders weren't new bidders. They had gone and formed consortiums. And
consortia
and committed to and the word on the street had forced them or put them in a position where if they wanted to be competitive, they had to set their sights higher than they ever had before. So to me, it laid bare the potential for that event at a much higher level. So my takeaway on that was like, hey, great, we just made 320.
We need another lot that's in that bandwidth.
How can we maintain that momentum and keep these consortiums spending money at this level moving forward?
Heck yeah.
That's real quick, because that's a pretty good leaving it all on the table, but real quick other Leaving It All on the Table, just as we're heading into summer, and in the past we have talked about making sure that you see what it's going to be like at the time that you're doing your auction, and getting a tent if it might rain, or doing other things. I think I can name names here without getting anybody mad at me. I've worked with the Howell Mountain Vintners Association since 07 or 08. They've changed dates, and we've, you know, there's been a couple years off and on here. Ed did their event for a little bit at some point, but basically off and on since 08. And we used to do it in the carriage house. The first time I did the event was in the shed out back of Rudd Vineyards.
I'm going to guess it was a really nice shed.
It was dirt floor, corrugated steel. I mean, okay. It was not
rustic.
It was a rustic. I call it a shed. No offense to Rudd Vineyards. It's probably like some other thing. And 20 years ago, it was different. But I mean, it was hot. Right. And then we moved to Charles Krug, which is a Mondavi property. Shout out to Janice Mondavi and the crew there. They have a lovely carriage house, and we would do it upstairs at the carriage house. And that was air conditioned, but you get enough people in there and the AC can't keep up. And eventually the event grew to be so big that the carriage house couldn't even hold everybody. So we moved it to a tent outside, which is lovely.
Good problem to have.
Tent in June. Usually you get a little bit of a breeze coming through in the afternoon, and you know, like 85, 94 was like our consistently. One year it might have threatened to rain. Another year it dropped into the 70s. But generally speaking, like 80s, you know, high 80s, mid 90s, until the year it hit 107.
Oh, what climate change? What are you talking about?
During the tasting. And so people, it's a lovely tasting. If you want to taste every wine made on Howell Mountain, they literally line them up under the oak trees at Charles Krug in alphabetical order. So you can just make your way around, or you can go. But I mean, it would take you the better part of a year to set up and drive around and do all these tastings. But you can just go down like a loft, you know, let's start with a Mondavi property and work your way all the way around. Right.
Although at 107, that's ice cube in my wine, people.
At 107 and Howell Mountain is known for high alcohol content Cabernet. Right. Like the steep volcanic rocky hillside leads to like really like just sturdy, hardy vines that produce these like lower yield, but higher concentration fruit. Right. And that's the Howell Mountain, all cabs. Now, some of the folks on Howell Mountain do make various whites and rosés. And
I actually love Howell Mountain areas, Merlots as well.
There you go. Yeah. But I mean, noon to 3:30. Noon to 3, people are tasting all these wines. Then we move them all into the tent, and we've got fans, and we've got swamp coolers, and we got everything else set up. But it was like, it was seriously 120 degrees in that tent.
Oh,
easy.
My God.
Just easy. Oh. At that point, I say to the crowd, like, look, here's the deal. The more quickly you do this, the faster we all get out of here. Right?
not your usual pitch for the auction.
Yeah,
for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah. Just bid quick so we can go. Right. And I usually ask for like our technical writer, Deborah asks, Deborah's not our technical writer, but when she is communicating with events, she asks for, among other things, a couple of bottles of water.
Two bottles of water, yeah.
Room temperature, preferably, in the podium so that we can wet our whistle as necessary. And usually it's literally that, just to like keep the throat coated a little bit. And that auction, I drank a bottle of water every 3 lots.
Oh, I'd want a 5-gallon bucket of ice water to dunk my head in, right? Yeah.
Just literally. And you talk about leaving it all on the table. I mean, like came out like I finished that auction drenched in sweat.
Probably down 5 pounds.
Yeah. The crowd is like just they look like they just did the auction, right? I mean, they look like they like there are and you talk about like some people are just sloppy, right? Like just utterly, completely wasted. Right. But
drinking too much wine in 105 degree heat, what could possibly go wrong?
But we had a great time. I mean, I think that might have been the year that we sold a barrel of Dunn for $20,000, right? Which is Randy Dunn. Got to give a shout out to Randy Dunn, not just the godfather of Howell Mountain, but I found out this last time around that Randy Dunn donated a quarter of the cost for the Napa Land Trust to purchase 3,000 acres of land and keep it as publicly available hiking, mountain biking, and just nature on the eastern slopes of the mountains outside of Napa and St. Helena. So shout out to Randy. I mean, his wine legacy and his legacy on Howl Mountain would be fantastic, but also to be part of such a huge retention and transfer of land at any point in time, but especially now, is just really super meaningful.
It's it's such a reminder for me, and probably for you as well, of why we love what we do so much, is because we get to be part of people at their best.
Yeah.
And organizations at their best.
Yep.
And that's a perfect example.
Yeah. So I don't know where to even start on the takeaways for leaving it all on the table. I mean, maybe takeaway number one, don't do a 75 lot auction,
right?
Like ever. Even though I did like 5 or 6 of them over the course of a few years, because sure, Central Coast Wine Auction used to be an 80 lot auction or something insane. I mean, just insane. But I mean, I think maybe the takeaway is and we've said this before, meet your crowd where they are.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because a 30 lot wine auction is way too many for a lot of events, but not the one that you did.
No, it was fine. And meet the crowd where they are. And it's okay to go on that journey with them.
Sure.
Right. Is that we're going to leave it all on the table for you. And yep, you're going to leave it all on the table for the organization.
Yep.
And at the end, we can all look at each other and high five. And that was crazy, you know, but it can be that was crazy, and have it kind of be a good thing.
Yeah. I mean, I think part of that also is being in the moment, being true to the moment,
yeah,
and being true to the reality of what's happening, right? So if something crazy is happening, I used to try to like, well, don't look over there, yes, and just focus, yes, on the stage.
Yeah. Right?
Like,
yeah.
I'm like, well, don't, you know, like nobody look at that unicorn strutting across the stage. And right, now it's like, oh my God, did anyone else see the unicorn?
Right.
You know,
right,
like
that's so true.
Definitely.
You gave examples of that along the way where the place emptied out. All right, everyone come down to
right,
the front. Or
yeah,
it's 105 degrees. Well, then let's get through this quick because we know we're all burning up in here.
Yeah.
It's like that meme with the dog and the house and the place on fire.
This is fine.
It's okay to go, this is crazy.
Yeah.
We all acknowledge it. And there's something endearing about going through the craziness together.
Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely. And I mean, I think that as we're coming into the time of year when events are destination events, people are traveling to attend events. Destination events inherently have a built-in community of people who gather once a year to do this thing, because usually, you know, you do the wine event, usually there's a dinner the night before.
There
right?
was.
Right? And you get a chance to hang out with people. And I love the VIP events the night before, because then it's a chance to be like, oh, remind me of your name again.
Right.
Right. And like, because I'll
watch for your paddle.
I remember what you bid on, but I don't remember names.
Yep.
Right. And so there's and our career is this whole thing about like just like refilling short-term memory from 1 week to the next.
Yeah.
Right.
Pronouncing obscure French appellations correctly.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. But the community of the sense of we gather together and do this thing once a year isn't limited solely to destination events. And a good fundraising event that happens annually is capable of creating that same sense of community and camaraderie that brings a crowd together and keeps them engaged from year to year.
Darn, you are eloquent.
Well, you know,
Come on. It's got that vibe of we all get together once a year, whether we need it or not. And then we create another lasting memory for all of us and hopefully raise some money along the way.
The one of my favorite psychological.
Okay, you're not that eloquent.
Biological truths.
Yeah,
is
yeah,
that we form long-term memories when there is an emotion tied to a moment.
Yeah.
And after this last weekend, I will never forget David, the sound guy's name, because I called him Dan 3 times and he corrected me in front of somebody and I beat red embarrassed about
it. I'm going to call you D. D, the sound guy.
Oh, well, I'm going to call that. Welcome back. Good to see you. Thank you all for joining us. It is always an honor to be able to have you tune in and join us. Join in and tune us.
Tune in and join us.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Black Tie and Tales, is what I'm trying to say. We appreciate you. As always, you can find our podcast on Apple, Spotify, Google, YouTube, all your favorite places.
Oh, smash that like, subscribe button.
And you can find us at blacktieandtales.com as well. Dun, 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 dun.